If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to Revelation chapter number 20. Turn to Revelation chapter number 20. I'm glad I can trust the Bible. I want all y'all to know the Bible is infallible, inerrant. It's God-breathed. Yes, somebody ought to praise Him. Revelation chapter 20. I want you to go down. I'm going to read verse 10 also. Verses 11 through 15 will be our thought today. I've been studying on this all week long. It's not something I haven't ever alluded to. But I do want you to know God's showed me this in a fresh way. And I was hoping I'd be standing by now and preaching up on my feet, but I'm not quite there yet. But don't let your heart not be worried. I could probably preach as hard as some of these little wimps preach sitting down. Somebody help me preach. Revelation 20. You can shout at this verse. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And notice verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Our Father, in the quietness and as we hush down somewhat and think about this day, the final day in God's courtroom, there are folks in this room this morning, if they don't receive Christ, they will stand there before a holy God. And I pray this morning that folks will see their need of salvation. And Lord, if there's church members here that's deceived and not really saved, they'd get saved. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. I bless your name for what you'll do through this message. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Lois's song was so appropriate. Thank you, Lois. Revelation chapter 20. I was reading after some folks this week, and I read a lot of interesting things from several people. But one thought caught my mind out of one particular writing that I was studying. And somebody said it this way about this event. This is God's final courtroom. If you let me, I want to put it this way. It's man's last day in God's courtroom. Let me say this to you as I introduce this thought to you. In this courtroom will not be like the courtrooms you see in the United States of America. Amen. It will be unlike anything you've ever seen, because in this courtroom, there'll be no debate about guilt or innocence. In this courtroom, there will be a prosecutor, but no defense attorney. In this courtroom, there will be an accuser, but no advocate. In this courtroom, there'll be an indictment, but no case for the charge. In this courtroom, there'll be swift presentation, but no rebuttal. Dear Lord. In this courtroom, there'll be testimony, but no cross-examination. In this courtroom, will be an unsympathetic judge, but no jury. In this courtroom, will be a sentence, but no appeal. In this courtroom, will be a punishment, but no pardon. This is God's courtroom. This is the last thing lost people are going to see of God. To me, it's one of the most frightening scenes in all the Bible. And in writing this, John didn't even embellish it or even try to add to it. Just the thought of it stirs my soul. I want to, first of all, show you the scene or the setting, if I might. Look at verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne. You see, preacher, what has already happened? First of all, I'll tell you what has already happened. The rapture of the church has already happened. Thank God, thank God, thank God. In Revelation 4:1, it said we're going to be caught up into heaven. Thank God for the, glory I'm about to say, the rapture of the church. And I'll tell you what else has already ended. And that is the 7 years of tribulation from chapter 6 through chapter 19. I tell you what else has happened. Not only the rapture, but we see the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. We see the new body given to the martyrs that were killed during the tribulation period. Somebody help me preach. I'm about to lose my mule. And we see the millennial kingdom, a 1,000-year literal reign where we'll rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. And then we'll see the great white throne. And I want to get, let's look at this scene. I read after somebody this week and he said something that was really bold and it kind of, yeah, how many of y'all ever had something read to you kind of sit back when you heard it? And you thought, well, I don't know if that's true or not. But after I examined it in my mind and according to Scripture, it is true. Look at verse 11 again. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face, listen, the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Ladies and gentlemen, when this throne appears, I heard this term this week. First time I've ever heard it. This writer and this speaker said this. He said, we'll be placed into a place of uncreation. When I first heard that, I said, wow, that's startling. But after I thought about it, he's truthful. Because the heaven and the earth will pass away. They will have been melted with fervent heat. There'll be no heaven and there'll be no earth. All there'll be is a place, if I could just describe it in my mind, total blackness and total emptiness. And there comes in the total blackness of that hour, and a total emptiness of that hour, a great white throne. Could you imagine? I can't imagine. But I'm glad I'm not going to have to face him that's on the throne. Oh, I'll face him at the Bema seat, and I'll probably regret a lot of things, but I want you to know something. I'm not going to face him there. You said, why aren't you going to face him there? Because I've been washed in the blood of Christ. Let me, if I can, give you somewhat of a description of it. It said it was great. Because, see, it was the seat of all power. The omnipotent God was sitting there in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be the God-man sitting there judging you. The one that redeemed you will be your judge. It was great in power, prestige. The courtrooms of this day pale in comparison of it. When you look at it, all you'll see is the throne, and all you'll see is God Almighty. And you'll be standing there in your last day in court, standing before God. You may not have committed crimes on this earth worthy of you going to an earthly jail. But you'll be there because you are lost and you're undone and you're on your way to that hell. And you're going there as quick as, you're going there quickly. And when you get there, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. Somebody help me preach. And not only was it great in power, but the white symbolizes purity. Let me say this, there'll be no prejudices there. The judge won't make a mistake there. There won't be any mistakes made in it. It's a pure place with a pure God. And you'll be standing for a thrice holy God, and you'll stand there. Now I want you to notice a detailed setting. I hope you're seeing this. I see a terrible figure. Somebody asked me, who's it going to be? Well, you're going to stand before God. But when you stand before God, the Bible tells me all judgment was given to the Son of God, and who all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Jesus Christ, and you'll stand before your Redeemer. I want to tell you, I remember growing up, and I was kind of a mean boy. Let me rephrase. I wasn't mean. I was angry. Oh, none of you sweet saints were. And you know, my daddy never messed with me until Mama said, "Just wait, your dad's gonna be home in a little bit." And I want y'all to know something. My mama has beat me with switches and run me under beds. But there ain't nothing scared me more than standing for my daddy, because he didn't take it easy on me. Somebody help me preach. But I want you to know something. You're not going to stand before an earthly daddy. You're going to be standing before Almighty God without hope. Somebody help me. Then it'd be a terrible fear. I don't know if you really know what fear is, but you'll find out what fear is. Mankind will stand before God. When they sinned in the garden, what did they do, Jeff? They hid themselves. But I want you to know something. When you stand before God lost and you've never been redeemed, we're not trusting in church membership or goodness or anything. When you stand before God lost, you won't be able to hide from Him. I'm saved. And that scares me. All I can say is wave my hand up and say, I'm glad I will not be the accused there. I'm glad I won't have to stand before Him in that way. I failed God. I made a mess of it sometimes. But I'm glad I ain't going to be there because I've been washed in the blood. Y'all with me? Now hear me. Number one, we see the scene. Number two, I see the summons. Who summons there? The Bible said, look at this in verse 12 and also verse 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Ooh. What is saying there, the prestigious people will be there. The rich will be there. The pauper will be there. And none of them will have any hope. Dear God. The Bible said death and hell. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Of the lost. Their soul that was in Hades or hell will come out of hell, be reunited in a body that when cast into the lake of fire will not burn, will not annihilate. I do not believe that doctrine. I believe you'll be there forever. Can we just for a minute look at the crowd that's going to be there? Is that okay? Well, I'll tell you who's going to be there first. The sinner and the scoffer will be there. I'm talking about the Hitlers. I'm talking about the Neros. I'm talking about the atheists. I'm talking about Charles Darwin. I'm talking about all the ungodly leaders of this world that have led people to this pit. I'm talking about those that said, made fun of old time religion and made fun of the blood of Christ and made fun of church and said, I don't need that. They're all going to be there. I'll tell you who's going to be there. People that denied that this Bible is the Word of God. I'll tell you who's going to be there. Those that have rejected the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you who's going to be there. Those that were invited and invited and invited. Say, who else going to be there? The self-righteous crowd will be there. You say, what do you mean by self-righteous? I'm talking about moral people who think they're so good that they ain't going to face that. But see, the fact is, here's the indictment. There is none good. No, not one. None! I remember several years now, it's not been a long time, when I went to Israel with the last group. And I set up in first class. And I told boys, I'm buying first class. I am not flying for 10 hours without me being able to stretch out. But I tell you what, on that particular trip, how many of y'all, when you go on an airplane and you know going to be flying 5 to 10 hours, you would like to just get on there and everybody leave you alone and you could go to sleep? Somebody help me preach. Well, that's the way I felt. I was traveling to Israel and I don't know why, but it had to happen. Here comes this guy sitting beside me. And he was big as I was. Of course, we were in first class seats, thank God. And I could tell he was Middle Eastern. I couldn't figure out if he was a Jew or a Muslim. I didn't know. But I tell you what, he liked to talk. And he started rattling off all kinds of stuff to me. And then after just a little bit, he finally got down to religion. I found out what it was then. He was a Muslim. Man, he started talking about Mecca, and he started talking about all that stuff. And I said, are you in that crowd that flies planes into buildings and all that stuff? And that ain't a good thing to say, 36,000 feet above the ground, amen? But I want you to know something. He had tears in his eyes over his religion. A religion of works. A religion that tells people if you fly a plane into a building and kill a bunch of heathen, you'll be blessed. And he believed that mess. But then I got to talk. And believe it or not, he was respectful. I think if he's going to talk an hour, he'd be respectful of me talk 5 minutes. And I give him the gospel. And I don't know if that man ever got saved, but I will tell you this. I gave him a gospel tract, and he left that plain tears running down his face. And you know what? If he dies and going to hell, you know what? He was a pretty good guy. He was a decent guy. He followed the religious order. But I want you to know he's lost as he could be. He's self-righteous. He has a form of righteousness and a form of godliness, but he was lost. You can't boast of good works because salvation is not of works. Amen. And by the way, you can be a Baptist girl and wear your dress down to your toenails. And you can be somebody who walks in this church fine and dandy. But if you've never been washed in the blood, none of that counts. I tell you, there's another crowd on that plane or on that before that bar. And here's what I call them. They're what I call the someday crowd. I want you to know, you're not going to make me believe this, that there's anybody in this room that want to die and go to hell. You can't tell me that. You'd be as far away from church as you could be if you wanted to die and go to hell. I don't believe anybody in this room wants to die and go to hell. There are probably people in this room that's lost will die and go to hell. But it's not your intention. It is not what you want to do. And I really believe you've got good intentions and you're saying that, I'll do it someday. Well, there's some examples of that in the Bible. There was one king that Paul stood before. And you know what Paul preached? He preached what I preached. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. And he emphasized the resurrection. And that king's name was Agrippa. And here's what he told Paul. Almost. Look here. Look at me. Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. I'd hate to think there are people in this room that are Sunday. You'll fit in the Sunday crowd. Help me preach here. You may be somebody that used to sing in a church or do something like that, but you're a Sunday girl. Preacher, I'll be saved, but not now. So this is what you're going to do? Hear messages like this? Be wooed by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God convicts you, and you know you ought to be to heaven. You ought to go to heaven, and you want to go to heaven, and you walk out that door lost. That's the someday crowd. Oh, there was another guy that Paul preached to in that same area. His name was Felix. And he preached the same thing, the resurrection. You want Felix told him? Come back in a more convenient time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no time better than right now. Now is your salvation near? Now is the day of salvation. Now, now. God wants you to come now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God says, come now. But also, I read this one. This one here stirred my soul. Because there's going to be a fourth crowd there. I call them the Sunday crowd. The Sunday crowd. I don't know where this guy got this statistic. I've heard similar ones. I was reading in a book this week, and a famous commentator said this. He said 70% of church members and people that are on the roll of churches are unconverted. Whew. Dear Lord. The Bible kind of alludes to that, because the Bible said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They might have enough church in them to get them to Sunday morning, or get them to Easter program or Christmas program, but they don't have enough God in them to bring them back Sunday night and Wednesday night, and to walk for him. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. Coming to church is more than having a date with Jesus. Coming to church and serving God is a real thing. I'm glad it's real in my heart this morning. I have repented of my sins. I saw myself lost and got saved. And I want you to know, I went to church some. But I tell you, it was different with me after I got saved. I didn't want to live like a devil Monday through Saturday. I didn't want to do the things I did when I was in the flesh and when I was a sinner. Because I got saved by the grace of God. I've seen a few folks, quote unquote, say they're Christians. Now they don't darken the door of a church. And they put Facebook pictures like with whiskey bottles behind them and have them having smoking some dope right before everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be some people that thinks they're saved that's going to come up to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all kinds of wonderful works? We give our tithe. We participated. And here's what, and we even cast out devils. And you know what he's going to say to them? Is it possible to say, Lord, Lord, and go to hell? Yeah, because Matthew said many will say, Lord, Lord, and then the Lord's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I want you to know something. I'm not a guy that tries to make anybody doubt. I don't even believe in doing that. But I'll tell you this, if I didn't know for sure I was going to heaven and I had some doubt that I've ever had a relationship with God, I want you to know there wouldn't be no church house or no preacher standing in my way. I'd get saved. I'm almost finished. I want you to notice the standard in which they'll be judged. And Tyler, bring me a couple songbooks, will you? I'll try to illustrate it this way. Thank you. Look with me in the Bible. I'm going to show you how you're going to be judged. Now listen to this carefully. Look at me. How many of y'all know how to be saved? It's by grace are you saved through what? Come on, Dave. By grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. But look at the standard. Look at the standard. And I saw the dead, small, and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their what? Works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his what? Now look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Let me illustrate it. Look at me. I'm almost done. Let's just illustrate this way. See this book? We'll just say that's the book of life. And here's what's going to happen. Because if you're there, you're lost, okay? There ain't no second chances. So they'll look in that book. And they'll look in that book and they'll go to where your name should have been and it won't be there. I personally believe your name's written in that book the moment you get saved. Kind of alludes to that when it said their names were written from the foundation of the earth. Every person that gets saved from the foundation of the earth will be placed in the Lamb's book of life. But here's what will happen. Listen to me. Somebody will start pleading their case. Well, I went to Tate Valley Baptist. Well, I wasn't that bad a guy. I want you to know something. There's going to be other books there. Look at them. And this is the book of your life and your deeds. I want to tell you what it'll do. This will be written in that book. Such and such was at Taze Valley Baptist Church, November the 7th. Heard Pastor Smith preach on the white throne judgment. And they said no to Christ. Everything that you've done in life will be in this book. Now, you're not going to heaven because your name wasn't found in the book of life, but your deeds will be in that book. Now, some people believe it like this, and I kind of do myself. That there'll be degrees of punishment in hell. Kind of alludes to it in the Bible because he said it'd be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be Capernaum because of all the miracles that were done in Capernaum and they still didn't repent. Ladies and gentlemen, I think judgment's going to be real difficult on people that heard it and heard it and heard it yet rejected it. What a standard. She won't be able to say, well, I was a member of it, Pastor Smith's church. Ain't going to hit that. That'll be in them books. That's the standard. God have mercy. If I was in this room and doubted I was saved, I'll tell you, I'd get saved by the grace of God this morning. Then lastly, and I'm done. Verse number 14 and 15. I want you to notice this sentence. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Can I make one statement? The lake of fire was not created, Lois, for us. It was created for the devil and his angels. And if you go to hell, here's what you're going to go to hell. Probably over some mom that used to pray for you. Or some wife that used to pray for you. And you go over the preaching of this preacher. You'll be over going over the blood shed by Jesus Christ. You'll be over. You'll be going there despite the convicting of the Holy Spirit. And look at this. The Calvinists need to look at this. And whosoever was not found in the book of life. By the way, it's a whosoever will way to be saved. And the And these are what I call the whosoever wants. I just want me to say. And they'll be cast in the lake of fire. And we heard just in verse 10, who's going to be in the lake of fire? The devil and the false prophet and all the demons of hell. And they're the only ones that ought to go. And here's the sad part. There's people in this room that you know better. You know you want to go to heaven. And you know God's Son died on the cross. Would you today consider coming to Christ? And if you're a church member in this room, and maybe you said, Lord, Lord, but it didn't translate in a new life in you. It didn't translate that you got saved. Amen. Now, I don't know if that guy was right that 70% of the churches are lost. I won't go there. I don't know. I'm not your judge, but I do know this. You know, and God knows if it's real or not. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. Thank you for paying attention so well this morning. I really don't take any pleasure in preaching on this subject, to be honest with you. But I was compelled by God to preach on it. How many in this room right now would say, Preacher John, I know that I will not go to hell because I know there was a time and a place in my life I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I received His death, burial, and resurrection. And I trusted Him in my heart. And I know I'm saved. Will you raise your hand? Hold them high. If you don't know, don't raise them. Please don't raise them if you don't know. God bless you. There's several in this church this morning. It's a serious time. Can you imagine going to a place where all heaven and earth passes away? And all it's going to be is you and God. He's going to be on the throne. I wonder how many this morning say, Preacher Smith, I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to the lake of fire, and I don't want to go to that white throne judgment, and I know God's been working in my life. And Preacher Smith, I know I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm not saved, but I want to be. Just raise them up. God bless you. Somebody else, just slip them up high, real high. Mom, dad, boy, and girl, real high. Preacher Smith, I don't know for sure I'm saved. But I do believe what you just preached. And I don't want to go to the lake of fire, and I don't want to appear before the white throne judgment, and you don't have to. Is there any church members this morning that maybe say, Preacher, I'm not really sure I'm saved. Pray for me. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. Stand with me. And hopefully there'll be nobody moving around. But if you're not sure you're saved, I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost convict you this morning. And you'll slip out of your seat and let somebody help you, show you how to be saved. And if you have doubts about your salvation, about if you're really saved or not, you ought to make it right this morning. Our Father, I've given my heart this morning. These are not messages that I even wanted to preach, Lord. But I do know there's dear folk here that are being blinded by the devil. And they're good people as far as humanity goes. But Lord, they're lost and they're undone. And God, I pray this morning that they'll receive you, the only pardon for sin. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen.